Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this, the November scheduled meeting of Murrindindi Shire Council. Murrindindi Shire Council is proud to acknowledge the Tungurung and Wurundjeri people as the traditional custodians of the land we now call Murrindindi Shire. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, who are the keepers of history, traditions, knowledge and the culture of this land. Councillors, I ask that you raise your right hand for the pledge. The council is democratically elected to represent the community of Murrindindi Shire Council, are committed to working together in the best interests of the people who live in our municipality, those who conduct business here and those who visit. Thank you. We move to the agenda, item 2.1, a privacy note. This public meeting is being streamed live via our Facebook page and website. A recording of the meeting along with the official minutes of the meeting will also be published on our website. Item 2.2, apologies and requests for planned leave. I note that Councillor Ilana Gehringer has applied for a 3-month leave until the 1st of March 2024 due to ill health. Are there any other apologies or requests for planned leave? There's none noted. I will note that Councillor Corinne Haslam joins us online by the screen. And I would ask for a councillor to move, noting of those apologies and requests for planned leave. Thank you, Councillor Pawley. And a second, thank you, Councillor Walsh. All those in favour? That motion is carried. Thank you. Item 2.3, disclosures of interest or conflict of interest. I ask councillors to declare any interests or conflicts at this point. Thank you, Councillor Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, in relation to item 4.6, Tertiary Education Hub funding application, I wish to state that I have been engaged in activities that may lead to a perception of bias. I have been advocating for the Tertiary Education Hub on radio, in the newspapers and at public meetings, most recently last night here in this very chamber. I passionately believe in the concept and see nothing but good coming from establishing such a facility with council and in-kind contributions within Murrindindi Shire. I have studied the officer recommendation and cannot believe any argument could be raised which would change my opinion. I cannot say that I have an open mind to alternatives, and so I will withdraw when the matter comes up. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh, for that declaration. Are there any other declarations of interest? Thank you, Councillor Carpenter.
Thank you, Mayor. I would just like to say that 4.5, the grants and sponsorship program, there are two applications by the Rotary Club of Yay, of which I'm a board member, but those decisions will be made by delegations, so I will not be needing to make any decision regarding those two applications. 2.2C and 2G.
So item 4.5, items 2C, 2G.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. Councillor Haslam. Are you on mute, Councillor? I'll get you just to pause there for a moment, Councillor Haslam, while we try to address this audio issue. Would you like to try again?
What's that?
Sorry. Did I move?
I think that now is probably an opportune time to adjourn the meeting for a slight pause while we try to address our technical issues. We'll pause the stream at this point. Thank you.
I'll move.
Thank you.
All those.
Damien, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I did say yes.
Okay, how about now?
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Haslam. Look, I ask for a councillor to move a motion to resume standing orders. Thank you, Councillor Walsh, Councillor Carpenter. All those in favour? Thank you. That motion is carried. And Councillor Haslam, I understand that you were declaring an interest.
Again. Any joy? One, two,
here on the stream, either. Not sure if it's downside or.
Mr. Mayor, may I suggest that as we're having these technical difficulties, that we formally make a decision that perhaps the system isn't supporting Councillor Haslam, and that we continue the meeting with, unfortunately, without her.
Was she good?
Look, I'm happy to test that proposal. Is there a second for Councillor Walsh's suggestion? Thank you, Councillor McCauley. All those in favour? Thank you, Councillor Haslam. And we apologise that technology is not making it happen tonight. So we'll have the minutes note there. Councillor Haslam is not available for the meeting from 6 o'clock, 8 minutes past six, and we'll proceed. Can I have a mover for acknowledging those interests and conflict of interest? Thank you, Councillor Lording. And second. Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. All those in favour? That motion's carried. Item 2.4 of the agenda is confirmation of the minutes. Can I look for a councillor to move that council confirm the minutes of the 25th of October 2023 scheduled meeting? Thank you, Councillor Carpenter, and seconded Councillor McCauley. All those in favour? That motion is carried. I now ask that a councillor can move that council confirm the minutes of the 15th of November 2023 scheduled meeting of council and mayor election. Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Seconded, thank you, Councillor Lording. I'll put the motion now, all those in favour. That motion is carried. Ms. Benazzi, are there any petitions this evening?
No.
In that case, no community recognition? No matters deferred from the previous meeting? And no urgent business. In that case, we move to item three, public participation, and I invite governance Director Mr. Chesworth to introduce the open forum.
Thank you. Murrayfield and Shire Council welcome to this open forum. Open forum provides an opportunity for presentations to council. These can be on one or more topics, but are to be limited to 5 minutes in total. The mayor will provide a 1 minute warning after 4 minutes. Submissions as part of open forum may be on any matter listed on the agenda or any other matter, provided that any submission extends due courtesy and respect to council and is not prejudicial to any organisation or person. Please note this meeting is being streamed live on the internet and a copy of the recording will be published on council's website, so you should take care of disclosing any personal or sensitive information. As chair of this meeting, the mayor reserves the right to cease a submission as part of open forum if it is deemed inappropriate. So when you're called, please come forward and take a seat. You must remain seated during your presentation. You are not permitted to approach councillors or officers during your presentation or at any other time during the meeting. Before you begin, please state your name, the name of any organisation you represent, and the matter on which you wish to speak. At the end of your presentation, please wait. Whilst there'll be no discussion or debate, councillors may wish to ask you clarifying questions. If your topic relates to an item decision on today's agenda, this will be dealt with as listed on the agenda. Otherwise, the matter will be referred to the relevant director for investigation and response. At the end of open forum, you're most welcome to stay and observe the meeting. However, there'll be no further opportunity for public participation in the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chesworth. And we commence open forum by inviting Mr. Tom Harrington to address us on item 4.1, the planned application for 2456 Golden Valley Highway in Alexandria.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, councillors. Tom Harrington, Navy Blue Planning. I'm here tonight on behalf of Menzies Support Services. I am the applicant for a proposed two-lot subdivision at 2456 Golden Valley Highway in Alexandria. The proposal is detailed in the officer report. I don't propose to go through the officer report tonight, other than to touch on some of the salient points as the applicant for the proposal. Firstly, councillors will be aware of the role that Menzies play in the local community in providing a not-for-profit service to support people in both Murrindindi and Mansfield Shires. The site itself is currently split into two parts, separated by the UT Creek. Land to the north of the creek is zoned industrial, and land to the south of the creek is predominantly zoned residential. The proposal is confined to a two-lot subdivision, and it's a two-lot subdivision on paper. So there are no actual physical works, there's no change in use, and there's no change in zone proposed. It's a very simple two-lot subdivision on paper. The proposal is required to separate the industrial zone land from the residential land. So at the moment, they contain all one title. This is a way of cleaning up that title and ensuring that we don't have land on the same title in two different zones. Okay. When I spoke to Menzies originally, they indicated to me that the land north of the creek was surplus to their needs. It was not currently being used. It was creating a maintenance burden for them. The land is difficult to access from their property. So if you visited the property, it's quite difficult, other than heading out onto Station Street, to get to that land on the north side of the creek. In indicating that they were the land was surplus to their needs, Menzies also indicated they didn't have an intention to develop that land at this point in time. They are not a developer. So in essence, the proposal would potentially enable that land to be sold and freed up for employment use and relieve that maintenance burden for Menzies. In essence, the way that this would play out in future is that the land closest to Lamont Street could be developed. That land is of a suitable depth that would enable both development of the land nearest Lamont Street in the industrial zone, as well as setting back development from the creek corridor. So in future, any developer of that land would be required to set back a minimum 30 metres from that creek. Those guidelines are in place at the moment and are very, very rarely altered by the CMA. In preparing the proposal, we're a little bit surprised to get submissions on this matter, but at the same time, we're also sympathetic to the issues that have been raised. At the time, we provided officers with a response to the issues raised in submissions. And to my eye, I think the issues raised are not really specific to this proposal. They more deal with, well, what might come next on that vacant industrial land. And it's a difficult question to answer because there are no plans at this stage. But to play this out, there's a development plan overlay in place, which would require both a development plan and a planning permit application in future to support most forms of use, development, subdivision, vegetation removal, if indeed those things were proposed. Applications would also need to satisfy the other requirements of the Murrindindi planning scheme. And I touched on one of those about creek setbacks before, but there are also got detailed guidelines in there which are applied across the state, which deal with the protection of sensitive uses. So we know that there are some sensitive uses in proximity to the proposal on that north side. These are all issues that the objectors have raised, and I believe they will be addressed through future proposals. In all likelihood, we will see some light industrial use on that north side nearest Lamont Street in future. That could happen today, even regardless of this application. So it needs to be recognised the industrial zone is there at the moment, and someone could come in with an application at the moment, regardless of this subdivision. So in summary, we note the officer report. We acknowledge the issues raised by submitters. We reiterate that the proposal is confined to a two-lot subdivision. No use or development is proposed. As such, there's no potential for adverse impact arising from this proposal. And we submit that the proposal is appropriate for consideration by council. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Harrington. Councillors, does anybody have a question? No questions, Mr. Harrington. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I now call Mr. Anthony Mitro to speak to us again on item 4.1, the planning application at 2456 Goulburn Valley Highway, Alexandra. Welcome, Mr. Mitro.
Thank you. Excuse me. Yes, I am Anthony Mitro. I'm a resident of Alexandra, a resident of Lamont Street. I teach at, three schools in Alexandra. I've lived in Alexandra for over 10 years, renting most of it until we could afford to sink every penny that we had into our beautiful home in Lamont Street. I suppose my first point is I just want to summarise a little bit to make it easier to respond, I suppose. So my first point is really focused on appropriate use of the land, the best use of the land, the value of the land. And following on from that, I suppose, appropriate future planning for Alexandra. And thirdly, what's to be done about it? In summary, I do not believe that an industrial development on the banks of UT Creek, 30 metres back, a standard protection for a non-standard creek. I do not believe that an industrial development on one of our most precious assets is in the interests of Alexandra. And paving the way for such a thing flies in the face of responsible management of this beautiful asset into the future. I'm certainly not arguing that Alexandra does not need industrial space. It does. It absolutely does, for sure. I'm certainly not arguing, and none of us are, that employment opportunities are not important in Alexandra. Of course they are. Residential housing is also very important, and it's a huge priority in virtually all of the planning documentation that I've seen, state and local. And land within the town footprint with superb access to parks and recreation services, amenities, is increasingly rare. That kind of residential land cannot be found elsewhere. You can't move it 2 kilometres down the road and retain that kind of amenity. Industrial land, on the other hand, does not need to be right on the border, right on the banks of one of our most treasured and sensitive areas, sandwiched in between houses. In fact, it often benefits a town to have the industrial area slightly removed from your most beautiful parks and not sandwiched in between your residents. Industrial land can, industrial developments can be moved a little way away from our beautiful creek, from our houses, like my family's, that have been there for over 100 years, without impacting the utility of the land. Industrial land does not benefit from great access to the tennis club and a beautiful view of the creek. This land is not uniquely valuable industrial land. It is uniquely valuable to the people of Alexandra and to the future of Alexandra. Alexandra is a rustic, ideal, rural, country aesthetic for all those tourists and locals enjoying the golf club, the race club, the speedway, etc. It is part of the UT Creek Corridor. It is part of the UT Creek Corridor. But because it is in the wrong side of Station Street, it does not enjoy the same protections. Why not expand our protections? Expand our plan just a little, along with the growth of the town. Which brings me on to future planning.
1 minute, Mr. Petro.
Oh, 1 minute left. Gosh, that went quick. We don't need more heavy vehicles rumbling around our most scenic recreation areas. Options exist on Lethbridge Street and beyond. There are no such issues. There is land. Lethbridge Street virtually offers a bypass away from Station Street, away from the little bridge across the creek on Station Street. Inevitably, the closer you build Station Street and its little bridge, the more heavy vehicles will be using it. We're talking about an area right on the border of the Recreation and Leisure Precinct, UT Creek, Leckie Park Precinct, that Council is currently seeking feedback on. To be making a decision on this now, when that feedback process is ongoing, does not seem like a genuine communication process. So what's to be done? A caveat, a condition, a clarification, a comment, something that councillors will sign their name to acknowledge that this is not a normal creek. This is not a creek running through a farmer's backyard. This is a creek that our children have played in for generations. A creek that deserves more protection than is usually given. Increased protections.
That's time, Mr. Mitra, if you'd like to finalise your argument.
Thank you. A two-lot subdivision on paper. Yeah, on paper it is simple. In practice, there is already a development plan overlay. This document is talking about supplying resources, services to individual lots. That has not been part of the consultation process with residents. I was notified that this would come before council on Friday afternoon, giving us just a couple of days in my busy family life to actually consider it and go through what the council officers have put some time into.
Thank you, Mr. Mitro. Look, I think I'll probably hand over to councillors now to invite them to...
Let's not kick the can down the road and wait for the next stage.
Councillors may have some questions for you, Mr. Mitro.
Councillor Walsh, you're saying at the end, the first time you become aware of this application was on Friday?
I was made aware that this would come before council for a decision on Friday afternoon, and all of this, all of the information here, the responses and the work done by the council officers. Yeah, I've had almost no time to look over that and go through it and make a response to it.
But you were aware of the application for that?
I was aware of the information that was presented in that development application. Yeah. I absolutely did. Yeah. I have not had, this feedback. I've not had these responses. The answer is no. So I lodged quite a lengthy submission, and no, I've not had detailed itemized feedback on that then I can respond to. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Thank you, councillors. Thank you, Mr. Mitro. As Mr. Chesworth outlined, that this is an opportunity for the community to address council, and there'll be an opportunity for councillors to take up some of the points of those who present to council when the matters are briefed, provided by the Burleigh officer. So we look forward to addressing some of your concerns, hopefully, when the matter comes up.
Glad you heard some of them. Thank you.
I believe that's the final presenter for open forum. Thank you, Mr. Chesworth. Are there any questions of council? Thank you, CEO. So, councillors, we move on to item four, reports. 4.1 specifically is the planning application at 2456 Golden Valley Highway, and I invite Mr. Fraser to present on that matter.
Thank you, Mayor Gallagher. This application is for a two-lot subdivision of the land at 2456 Goulburn Valley Highway in Alexandra. The land is owned and operated by Menzies Support Services and is within the General Residential Zone, Industrial 1 Zone and Industrial 2 Zone. The land is affected in part by the development overlay, a development plan overlay in the area of the site within the industrial zone. So the land is also affected in part by both the floodway overlay and the land subject to inundation overlay along UT Creek. A development plan has been approved in 2010 for the area of the site within the industrial zones. However, this will expire in 2025. Once expired, a new development plan will be required to be approved. At a statutory planning level, the proposed subdivision will not affect the delivery of the development plan. The current development plan provides for industrial uses and includes infrastructure, open space along the creek, as well as buffer areas and additional discretionary protections of amenity to the existing dwellings in Lamont Street and Station Street within the industrial zone. The provisions around development and the way we consider development in 2023 has obviously expanded since this development plan was initially approved. That is still able to be accommodated largely within the parameters of the approved development plan. The application was advertised to adjoining landowners and objections have been received. The objections raise issues in relation to drainage, flooding, amenity, both from a residential perspective, but also in terms of the use of the precinct as a whole and the future development of the site. The application proposes only a two-lot subdivision of the land. While it is important to consider the future development of the land at a strategic level, which has been done through the development plan process, our assessment in this application is limited to the application before us. Officers recognise the proximity of the site to the central area of Alexandra and the connectivity to Lecky Park and the opportunities arising from that. It's considered overall that the proposal before us is consistent with the Murrindindi planning scheme. The proposal separates the industrial land from the residential land, which has been used to provide support services to the Murrindindi community since 1979. This report is presented to council due to both the number of objections and community interest in the proposal and recommends that a notice of decision to grant a permit be issued for the two-lot subdivision at 2456 Goulburn Valley Highway, Alexandra. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Fraser. Councillors, do we have any questions for us? Councillor Walsh.
When did the current zoning come into play?
The current zoning was done in 2010, I believe.
Do we have any legal leeway to defer the application in case we might want to change the zoning?
We don't. The the application has to be considered against the provisions of the scheme at the time. Our current strategic work identifies this land for industrial purposes. That was done when the old timber mill was still operational. Obviously that has ceased, but there's new businesses in that space. But essentially, no, we can't refuse an application because the land may be rezoned at some point without any strategic documentation to support that.
We've heard about lack of response to an objection. What form do responses take? Does it cover every possible issue that's raised, or do you only address what was in the objection?
We, in responding to objections, we respond to what can be responded to. With this application, we did try on a couple of occasions to organise a meeting, because the issues raised in the objections were largely, it was a similar set of reasons for objecting, that just we didn't have any response to those requests for that meeting. So, but generally what we would do is we would get a written response, and we would provide that to the objectors. In this instance, we did propose to do that through a formal meeting of the parties, which was unable to occur. So we've had to make a decision based on the information before us.
So let me just be clear. You offered a meeting. The meeting didn't happen. Have you still sent? Did you still then send out a response?
I believe they have been sent. Yes.
And did those responses just address to each objector their objection, or the totality of all objections? The
totality of all objections.
Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Councillor Lordy.
Just further down the road, closer to Valley Highway, is Jenkins and the old butter factory, and that. What sort of land are they sitting on?
So the butter factory, or the old butter factory, which is now the brewery, and Jenkins are on Industrial One zoned land. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Councillor McCauley.
Thank you. If this decision made tonight is that we don't grant a permit, the as of right use would still remain, and it is still zoned industrial, so it wouldn't change the possibility of use of that land as industrial land.
No, so the subdivision is not required. The subdivision of the land is not required for the land to be used and developed for industrial purposes on that portion of the land. Correct.
Yes.
No. The subdivision's not required to facilitate that development. However, we do acknowledge that
subdivision is not.
Yeah, and look, I think this also goes back to what Mr. Harrington said in his submissions, is the land is owned by Menzies. Menzies are not developers. So while it's in their ownership, nothing will happen. We acknowledge too that it's more likely that will occur if the land is sold.
Any other questions, councillors? Thank you, Councillor Carpenter.
Thank you, Mayor. So to be clear, we're not actually making any decision about whether it should or shouldn't be industrial land. We're just making decision about whether it should be subdivided. And the whole question of whether it should or shouldn't be industrial land is for another time.
Is not something we can consider in this application.
Yeah. Thank you.
Further questions, councillor? Mr. Fraser, I'd be just keen to understand how it is that residential properties land adjacent to an industrial zone, how has that come to be
Yeah, so it is unusual that you do have, and it's certainly not something that you would consider moving forward. However, these are legacy, like these houses have been around a lot longer than the Victoria planning provisions. And in any from a strategic perspective, any small town needs to have that land available for industry and employment, whether it's an industrial zone or a commercial zone, and separating those two uses, you do have issues where those uses are at an interface there, in terms of managing those amenity expectations, both for residents in the dwellings, but also the expectations of businesses to be able to operate. The situation on Lamont Street and Station Street is a historical issue, but that land, we do acknowledge, was rezoned into the industrial zone, and that's where the development plan ensures those protections. There's still, for certain uses within the industrial zones, there is recognised amenity impacts and requirements for setbacks from sensitive uses within the planning scheme. In addition to that, there is the provisions of the Environment Protection Act as well.
I have another question.
Thank you, Councillor Lloyd.
Just on requirement three or two, I think. On two, it mentions that anyone that getting the land must have relevant authorities for the provision of water supply, drainage, sewage facilities, electricity, and gas. As far as stormwater, you would position the LPOD legal point of discharge into the creek just like it is now. Would it be?
That's correct. So condition two of the recommendation is a standard condition for any application for two lot subdivisions.
One final question for me, Mr. Fraser, to underline, I think, some of the discussion is, would the granting of the application this evening by council afford the applicant or any future owner any additional or fewer land use capabilities than exist today?
No, not on the land in which, so the current provisions, you're still not allowed to do industrial uses in the residential area or anything like that. So those provisions around what can happen where within the parameters of this site doesn't change as a result of the subdivision.
There's no further questions, councillors. Then thank you, Mr. Fraser. I'll ask councillor to propose a resolution.
As per the officer's recommendation, thank you.
And do I have a second for that resolution? Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. Councillor Warding, would you like to speak to your motion?
Just briefly, I believe you've done a good job in looking at what can happen here and seeing we're not changing anything other than just dividing a line down the middle and change of ownership. I support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Warding. Councillor Carpenter, would you like to speak?
Thank you, Mayor. I don't think we're even changing the ownership at this stage, Councillor Lording. We're just subdividing the land, I believe. And I also believe that it doesn't make any difference to what is and isn't allowed on that land. We're just asking, it's just being asking for subdivision. So I support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. Would any other councillors like to speak for or against the motion? Thank you, Councillor Walsh.
I can well understand the position that Mr. Mitro's put. Alexandra is undergoing quite considerable growth. And if people back in, or councillors back in 2010, when the zoning was on, had a better understanding of the level of growth that was likely to occur, the zoning might have been vastly different. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. And we're left with trying to find a way through what is there right now, and we can't really change that. It is at times assumed that whenever someone comes and buys a block or a house, they check the zoning and they remember what that zoning is all about for the rest of their days and act accordingly. In reality, I know people buy a block, check the zoning, hear that nothing's happened there in umpty-ump years, and continue to work on that assumption. Unfortunately, this is one of those cases where potentially, and it still hasn't happened yet, the someone may decide to act on the current zoning. So whilst I do sort of feel for the objector and understand perhaps where he's coming from in some way, I can't see how we as a council can not agree to the application.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Councillor McCauley, would you like to speak?
No, thank you.
I would just like to add that I'm similarly sympathetic to the position of Mr. Mitra and the seven other objectors. I nevertheless recognise that we have a role this evening, as do the planning officers, and that is to consider the application before us. And for those reasons, I'll be supporting the Councillor Lording's motion. Councillor Lording, would you like to close?
Close, please.
So, councillors, I now put the motion. All those in favour? That motion is carried. Thank you, Mr. Fraser.
Thank you, Council.
Councillors, we now move to item 4.2, Murrindindi Planning Scheme Review Report Adoption, and I welcome Mr. Paxton.
Thank you, Mayor Gallagher. I'd just like to introduce and say that Council, as the planning authority for the Murrindindi Planning Scheme, is required to review the planning scheme every 4 years under the Planning Environmental Act. The planning scheme is required to be consistent with the state planning provisions and can't be contrary in any form. And Council requires the Minister support for any amendment or changes to that planning scheme. Council did a thorough review of the planning scheme, sought input from regular applicants, the staff, and advertised broadly for feedback on the operations of the planning scheme, and then put that report out for public consultation for a 6-week period. Tonight, we have that report back for Council to consider. And the important part is that the Council is required to consider a list of strategic work to be undertaken in the next 4-year period, adopt the Murrindindi Planning Scheme report and forward it to the Minister, and following the submissions, report to the Minister and seek authorisation to prepare a planning scheme amendment to implement the findings of this report. And that's a policy neutral, but it's not introducing any new changes. It's putting it in the new current form. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Paxton. Councillors, are there any questions? Questions, I'd ask a councillor to move a motion, please.
As per the officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh, and the second for that motion. Thank you, Councillor Lording. Councillor Walsh, would you like to speak to that motion?
Very briefly, this is work that is well overdue, and I would suggest in part we might have even seen one of the problematic results in the last discussion. However, we have to get on with this work. It's been deferred for too long. And out of that will come a much better arrangement so that people have far greater insight into how planning will be conducted and what the options are for various activities, industrial, residential, etc.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Councillor Lloyd, would you like to
speak? I'm also very pleased with the work that's been done here and has been needed for a long time. Thank you.
Any other councillors like to speak to the motion for or against? Thank you, councillors. I would like to acknowledge the work of the officers. This is a remarkable piece of work in terms of scope and magnitude, and also like to acknowledge the community feedback that's been received to prepare Council for this decision this evening. I extend my appreciation. Councillor Walsh, would you like to close?
I'll just make one further point in closing that I think overall, because of the necessity, we're finally getting on and doing something which is essential, and I believe it'll be money, time and effort well spent.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. I now put the motion. All those in favour? That motion is carried. And thank you, councillors, for the discussion. Mr. Paxton, I invite you back to address item 4.3, Shaping Murrindindi, the context analysis.
Thank you very much, Mayor Gallagher. Tonight, we've got a report in relation to the context analysis that we've been preparing. This report is a project that's been funded by DECA, the Department of Environment, Energy and Climate Action, and the sponsor of the project that's following a prescribed process with RMIT and the Trove Valley Authority to unpack in areas where industries have gone through change, such as the Trove Valley with the exit from brown coal, applying those same principles to looking at emerging technologies and emerging industries in that space. There's been a number of community consultation sessions involving about 110 interviews conducted across the Shire, particularly down from Alexandra through to Marysville. The draft document was put out for community comment to check that we heard correctly and were reflecting what people said, and with the feedback has been accommodated in this document tonight before you. The context analysis will then lead us into the entrepreneurial discovery stage, which is where we work with the community in unpacking what these streams look like and are they feasible and how we can secure funding or investment and private development to create jobs as part of the exit from the forestry industry. So tonight, councillors, I encourage the recommendation is we acknowledge the community engagement and feedback on the context analysis, endorse the context analysis report, and note the next stage of the process in the development and implementation of the local development strategy.
Thank you, Mr. Paxton. Are there any questions regarding that matter, councillors? Mr. Paxton, I understand that at this stage, this final report for stage one of the project, there will be opportunities for the community to engage with officers next Wednesday the 29th in Alexandra, and next Thursday the 30th of November in Marysville at the golf club to consider the report at this stage and to look at what the project has in stages 2, 3 and 4. Is that right?
That's correct, Councillor Gallagher. Those two workshops or those two events are to celebrate and acknowledge the input from the community and all those that have been interviewed, but also to step them through what the next stage looks like and invite people to participate in those forums. But a number of people have registered already for multiple forums or individual forums in their interest. So it's really saying if you're passionate about tourism and you want to see the growth and where the opportunities are, to nominate to be part of that next stage of that project and that stream.
Thank you, Mr. Paxton. Are there any other questions? In that case, I ask for a councillor to... It's a motion. Thank you, Councillor McCauley.
As per the officer recommendation, please.
Thank you, Councillor McCauley. Is there a second for the motion? Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. Councillor McCauley, would you like to speak to the motion?
Most definitely. First of all, I'd like to thank the people who have taken the time to actually engage with this process. I think back in September, in my portfolio report, I encouraged community, and I know there's been lots of notices out. It's really heartening to see the response that's been made by the community. And then going through and having a look at how that has had an impact on the document itself. And this now allows, us endorsing it tonight, will allow it to go through to the next stage off this document and continue that really valuable consultation with the community in this important area. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McCauley. Councillor Carpenter, would you like to speak?
I think Councillor McCauley said it beautifully. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. Any other councillors like to speak for or against the motion? I'd look just to add and endorse Councillor McCauley's comments. My opinion is certainly on the record that this is a vitally important economic transition that the whole community is going through. And that's a vital opportunity we must relish. So I heartily endorse that opportunity to publish this report and to endorse its content. So With that, Councillor McCauley, would you like to close?
Just simply first say that I think it reflects the fact that so many people have commented and been involved reflects what a good project it's been to date. So, close. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McCauley. I now put the motion. All those in favour? That motion is carried. Thank you. We now address item 4.4 on the agenda, Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan Year 2 Report. Welcome back, Mr. Paxton.
Thank you very much, Mayor Gallagher. Tonight we present the report on the implementation of the Municipal Public and Health Wellbeing Plan 2021 to 2025. It's a fantastic report on the activity across all the partners. It acknowledges that council is just one player. We have a statutory role to prepare this document. We're just one player. We partner with a number of other agencies to improve the lives and the health outcomes for our community. And this is the year two progress report on the implementation of that plan by council and our partners.
Thank you, Mr. Paxton. Are there any questions on the year two report? That being the case, I ask for council to move a motion. Thank you, Councillor McCauley.
As per the officer recommendation.
And a second for that motion. Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Councillor McCauley, would you like to speak to the motion?
This is one of those easy ones. Let's thank the 17 organisations that work together so collaboratively and so effectively for the benefit of our community. And this program report has shown what good work has been happening over the last year. So I wholeheartedly endorse this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McCauley. Councillor Walsh, would you like to speak?
I think everyone knows that I'm never satisfied, unfortunately. But I must say that after the year one progress report, I asked that we could in future reports have statistics to show how well we were doing. And it was very pleasing to see the range of statistics that have now been included and the progress or where we stand against those statistics. And I'm looking forward to the year three progress report when we'll be able to hopefully refine some of those stats so that there's a level of consistency both in terms of source and timing. Which is hard because we're often dependent on others, on state government or federal government bodies. But with a bit of luck, we might get there. And also be able to then have a clear measure of progress from one year to the next. And that's when I think we'll really start kicking more goals. But well done for the work to date.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Would any other councillor like to speak? Well, thank you for your discussion. I now put the motion. All those in favour? Motion is carried. And Mr. Paxton, item 4.5, grants and sponsorships program November allocation. I remind councillors that Councillor Carpenter has declared an interest but not a conflict of interest, so she will be present for discussion. Thank you, Mr. Paxton.
Thank you, Mayor Gallagher. Council has adopted a policy and a program for council grant and sponsorships to support and enable a wide range of programs across the Shire and community engagement. In arts, we've got programs for community engagement, a whole range of programs in that space. A number of those have been considered under delegation. And they're reported tonight for council's information and other items there for council's decision. This program's important to how we improve community life and how the community can be empowered to deliver programs and not always rely on someone else to do it. There's some great projects that are occurring out from the community and look forward to reporting on those at the end of the year, the outcomes of the projects have been delivered. So tonight I'd like to endorse, I'll request council to endorse the variations to the Eildon Actions Incorporated for timing, and the Flowerdale Primary School fair has been delayed as well. Note the grants have been made under delegation, and there's a number of those listed there. Endorse the applications as recommended by the Grant Assessment Panel, being the Yay and District Riding Club, for taller block frame replacement, a value of $2,500. and decline a number of applications as recommended by the assessment panel as listed there.
Thank you, Mr. Paxton. Are there any questions? Thank you, Councillor Walsh.
Yes, Mr. Paxton. In part four, it lists five applications that have been recommended not to be pursued or not to be agreed to. Could you give us some reasons for each one why the panel decided not to support it?
Yep. Thank you very much, Councillor Walsh. The first one, the Great M8S Foundation, the Tulangi Adventure Sports Camp. It's a program that is run by an organisation outside of the Shire, and the panel that were assessing it didn't see a lot of direct benefit to residents or our communities within the Shire. They bring everything up with them. Their communities, it's a fantastic program and well worth supporting, but there's no direct, if you lived in the city where the group come from or other agencies could support it, the thought was it didn't add a lot of benefit to our community and the Shire directly. Dancing Spirit was not recommended as it's a private enterprise purchasing equipment for their own and ongoing use. It's a very niche segment, and the panel believes it lacks that broader benefits to the community. The Yay and District Historical Society and the contribution toward an architected design and museum. The panel acknowledged it's a fantastic concept and a great idea to pursue. However, believe that there's further work we need to do first in where that museum could go, who they could partner with and collaborate with, and more of a master planning of a range of services within the Shire first before we put pen to paper on a building for a specific use. I had a conversation with the Historic Society today to explain that the concept of a museum is great. We just need to work out who they partner with, how they collaborate, and where that could go first. So it's a piece of work I think we need to work on early next year. The King Lake Pickleball, item D, it was not recommended as pickleball is a new and emerging sport. It's not really known or popular in the area, and the equipment requested seems excessive and expensive for the number of participants that would be involved to contribute to at this stage. So it was more seeking to understand the direct benefits we'd have from that. The Yay District Memorial Hospital, healthy lunchboxes. The panel had concerns over it's a cartoon or novelty type lunchboxes that would be provided to families in need. The concern was they'd be branded lunchboxes and may highlight disadvantage to individuals within the community. Might be the brand as that child has got one because of. And we think there's other ways in which we could help support that. But how they were also going to be distributed this time of the year and how they'd be distributed was also a question in that space.
Thank you, Mr. Paxton. Any further questions, councillors? Mr. Paxton, look, I think it's often very positive that communities are taking up the opportunities to deliver broad community benefit through this program. The report outlines that there's two grant streams that has not been a significant number of applicants. Can you please outline the purpose of those two streams that have had no applicants today, no allocations today?
The first one is the electrical vehicle charging. So Council's established a program to help business operators put EV charging in accommodation destinations or visitor centres or their motel complexes. We've had a number of people look at it on site and start, but no one has completed this yet. So we're going to reach out and talk them about what that looks like and what the challenges are or what that barrier is. The requires quotes to be provided. It might be a lack of access to quotes. So we want to understand from those who have commenced the process what that barrier is. Scrolling down to see the other program. Major events or events of major significance, we just haven't had the applications, although we're expecting a couple to come in. Unfortunately, the the community sometimes leave it to the last moment to lodge for the ones. We know that some major events will come up next year. Personally, I'd love to see them a little bit earlier so we can plan and work with them at getting those organised. But sometimes we're at the hands of the community and when they lodge those.
Sure, yeah, so it sounds like there's plenty of opportunities there. Councillors, if there's no further questions, we have a recommendation before us. Would a councillor like to move a motion? Thank you, Councillor Lloyd.
Thank you. Sorry, I got some bad news tonight and it's just hit me, or it's hit me recently. As per the officer's recommendation, as per the officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Lloyd. Is there a second for the motion? Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. Councillor Lloyd, would you like to speak to the motion?
I'm very pleased that we do this. It was great. We've done some great help. I had a phone call today from somebody that missed out, and we'll do a bit of work with them and see if we can sort that out. So, yeah, what we're doing is really good. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lloyd. Councillor Carpenter?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Any other councillors like to speak for or against? Councillor Lloyd, would you like to close?
Close, please.
Thank you, Councillor Lloyd. I'll now put Councillor Lloyd's motion. All those in favour? Motion is carried. Thank you. At this point, we address item 4.6, the Tertiary Education Hub funding application for councillor report. And I note Councillor Walsh has declared himself absent for this section of the meeting. Thank you, Councillor Walsh. And I invite Mr. Paxton to brief us on this matter.
Thank you very much, Mayor Gallagher. Councillors, residents in the Shire that wish to undertake tertiary studies have to leave the Shire to do TAFE or university courses. And some students, a lot of students go to study elsewhere. The evidence of the number statistics show us that Yay and Alexandra in the Shire is well below Victorian average for people who participate in tertiary education. And rural and regional Victoria, or rural and regional Australia, is well below metropolitan averages. The concept of a tertiary education hub where individuals can come to a location in a quiet adult learning environment and study alongside peers in a collaborative environment with a supported assistance by a centre manager and someone can help them understand educational writing is the pillars to this program, this option. The idea has been developed and through the country university centres, and they've got 26 operating across the south, on the eastern board of Australia at the moment, and they're proving very efficient, very effective, and addressing that barrier of travel, the barrier of moving away from home, the barrier of poor internet and connections, and also addresses that social disconnect that happens when people often leave for blocks of time. Who do they play football with? Who do they play netball with? What those family connections? That's why so the opportunity came up. We've started the concept, and in August the announcement came out from the federal government of the next round opening. So that's why we've had to move a lot quicker on this item than we were expecting to make the benefit of the first round of funding. So that is due in mid-December. I recommend tonight for council to endorse officers in preparing an application for the tertiary education hub and with a supporting space in Alexandra or surrounds for that facility. Note the tertiary education hub will operate independently from council with its own board and subject to the successful grant application, endorse a partially subsidised lease of a council facility as part of the application process. And endorse the ongoing in-kind support of council officers toward the development and operation of the hub.
Thank you, Mr. Paxton. Councillors, are there any questions? Mr. Paxton, I'd just like to confirm, so we're at the stage, just for absolute clarity, we're at the stage where support is being sought to go and seek funding to put together a board to establish this outcome. So there is currently no education hub, but there is no, for example, facilities being selected, that there is water certainly to go under the bridge before we get anywhere near the point of taking those sort of level of steps.
That's correct. So Mayor Gallagher, we've been looking to, we have to nominate a site. We need to nominate an operational budget, a capital budget as part of that application process. And we'll also have to nominate an inaugural board who will be interviewed for that process by the federal government in testing it. So at this stage, it is all hypothetical in the context that this is an idea. Until it's funded, there is no commitments in any which way at this stage.
And I take it that independent arm's length from council board with support of council will be having discussions with members of the community about facility selection, perhaps a call to action for support.
Mayor Gallagher, so the application will need to nominate a site and that may change during that process between now and then. So we'll be nominating a site on the application process, and we'll need to nominate individuals for that inaugural board to be interviewed. Once the announcement has come through, we'll need to firm up that location. A board will need to be appointed to a new enterprise, a not-for-profit organisation will need to be set up that will trade entirely separate from council. That board will employ the centre manager, the staff, organise the fit-out and the change of that building and finalise all the details. So things could change during that process.
Thank you. And I suspect that there will be a call to action for the community to get to be engaged, yes, to talk about the tracks that, for example, local businesses might want to express the skill shortfalls that they have that this sort of initiative might address.
Thank you, Mayor Gallagher. Yeah, that's exactly it. So the centre manager and the board will be out talking to different businesses. Last night we had a community forum with a number of people there where the Yay Hospital saw strong strengths in the idea of having people who could live locally, work part-time with them and full-time while they study here, their nursing or other qualifications and stay in the community. We'd also be looking at other businesses where we can achieve that, whether it's a TAFE or a university. An important element is this doesn't cut across the great work that's being done by community houses. It doesn't cut across the work being done by Krillin and VET and the other streams of education. It is entirely a complementary to those and just offers our community wider choices.
Thank you, Mr. Paxton. Thank you, Ms. Lording.
You've been to see two such sites. I think one was Wang and the other was down Gippsland.
Yes.
Have you seen real data that it has kept people in the local area?
So the Wonthaggi one, I think it was 38% of the people would not have attended a university if it was offered, unless it was offered there, and they have attended there. The other interesting thing from the Wonthaggi side, they said that they noticed that the work skills shortages they had around nursing for the Wonthaggi Hospital, childcare, were the highest take-up in that space. Also at Wangaratta, they commented that the first year's intake and the second year wasn't people coming straight from high school. The biggest demand came from people that were at home or already working, wishing to pursue other ones. There are a number of centres, all the centres have spoken really positively about the growth and the uptake in that space and people that are at home that would just love to learn and do something else.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lording. Councillors, if there's no further questions, the recommendations there before us, would somebody like to move that motion? Thank you, Councillor Lording.
As per the officer's recommendation, thank you.
And the second, Councillor Carpenter. Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. Councillor Lording, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes, I certainly would. The shortage of tertiary education around here has been noted quite a bit. We do have things like Krellen, which pick up the school kids and help them out. I do lots of advanced diplomas and things that's required for my employment, and I know what it's like to have a dog barking outside and you're trying to do an exam and something going wrong. This is absolutely excellent. I would really like to commend Councillor Walsh for the work he's done in this. It's been really good. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lording. Councillor Carpenter, would you like to speak?
Yes, please, Mayor. I'd just like to say that I'm really excited about this whole idea. I think it'd be wonderful for people leaving school, but also for older community members that might want to go back to study and improve their workability. And I just think it's a wonderful idea, and I congratulate everyone for their efforts so far. And I hope that the grant is successful.
Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. Would anybody else like to speak? Thank you, Councillor McCauley.
I have to say something. I think the graph that you've put in the report there, Mr. Paxson, is a compelling argument when you look at regional and remote communities are half as likely to achieve a bachelor degree or higher than individuals living in major cities across Australia. I know we're aware of the lack of further education opportunities in our area, but that sort of really puts it into stark relief and is a very compelling argument that having something in our own backyard would make it more attractive for both adults seeking further employment and younger people when they're leaving high school. It's a well-trusted model, it's collaborative and it's complementary to other learning centres. And I believe it's something that we should definitely be promoting. And to follow on from what Councillor Lording said, Councillor Walsh is to be commended for his work in this area today. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor McCauley. And I'd simply add that what I've observed is a unity of councillors supporting this this initiative. I'd certainly like to acknowledge the support that all councillors have given to the notion of tertiary and further education right here in Murrumbidgee Shire. And I'd also like to acknowledge the efforts of Councillor Lording and officers who've made sure that initiative comes to life. So Councillor Walsh, I apologise for that initiative. The thing that most strikes me about this opportunity is that it will be a tertiary opportunity right here in Murrumbidgee Shire for young school leavers to consider. And we know that there is an opportunity here to break intergenerational barriers to tertiary education with these initiatives. We also know that there's a latent demand there for people changing careers and looking for an opportunity to seek education. So for those reasons, also support the initiative. Councillor Lording, would you like to close?
Yes, please. But
councillors, I now put this motion. All those in favour? The motion's carried. I ask meeting support. Welcome back, Councillor Walsh. Now, councillors, we look at item 5.1. We thank Mr. Paxton for his reports. We now invite Mr. Albertini to address item 5.1, contract 23-13, sealed road resealed program 23-24.
Thank you, Mayor Gallagher and councillors. This report provides the results of a tender process to appoint a contractor to complete council's sealed roads resealing program for this financial year. The scope of this project is to provide 23.1 kilometres of resealing works on 20 sealed roads across 10 localities within the municipality. These routes have all been inspected and prioritised for resealing within the 2023-24 resealing program following condition assessments. Council recently conducted a public tender for these works, which closed on the 7th of October at 3 p.m. There were 5 submissions received post tender. A detailed valuation was undertaken in line with Council's procurement policy and against the tender evaluation criteria by the Tender Evaluation Committee. This report and confidential attachment outlines the procurement and evaluation process undertaken to support a suitable contractor to complete the works. And based on the evaluation, the committee recommends tender afford to be awarded contract 23/13 sealed roads resealing program 2023-24 for a lump sum price of $178,149. To complete the required works in accordance with specification. The recommendation is presented for Council's consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Albertini. Councillors, are there any questions? Thank you, Councillor Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Albertini, just a general one on these types of contracts. I note there's a list of roads there. If there was sort of a natural disaster or any other occurrence that sort of meant that we should perhaps change our priorities, is there ability to sort of be a little flexible with these roads?
Yeah, I mean, we do provide the roads, and it's become a scheduled roads. We can alter and adjust, providing the road length and distances similar to what's proposed. So there's opportunities for us to vary those scope if we need to.
Okay.
Any other questions, councillors? Then the recommendation is before us. I invite a councillor to move a motion. Thank you, Councillor Carpenter.
As per the officer's recommendation, thank you.
And a second. Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Councillor Carpenter, would you like to speak to the motion?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Walsh, would you like to speak?
Only as usual, I'm always grateful for when there's money spent on roads. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Would anybody else like to speak to the motion? Councillor Carpenter, would you like to close?
Close, please, Mayor.
Thank you. I then put the motion. All those in favour? That motion is carried. Thank you, Mr. Albertini. Item 6, Councillor and CEO reports. Item 6.1, notice of motion. Are there any notices of motion? No, none noted. Thank you. Councillor Walsh, do you have a council report?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
1 week into my new portfolio of governance and corporate services, I can only report work is continuing on the joint IT systems procurement project and on drafting the first cut of the 2024-25 budget. From a ward perspective, I attended a meeting between flood-affected farmers and businesses and the board of the Murray-Darling Basin Authority chaired by Sir Angus Houston. The aim of the meeting was to highlight to the board the damage that would be caused should the authority go through with their plans to create surge flows along the Goulburn to provide overbank flows to replenish wetlands further down the basin. The recent October floods were at a similar level and provided a direct example of the impact the proposal would have. From the presentations, it was clear that the board had a far greater appreciation of the negative impact on farms, roads, tourism, council assets, and on the local environment. Their endeavours to provide improved environmental outcomes downstream would be at the cost of upstream communities. The board also agreed to meet again during the revision of the basin plan. I should emphasise to meet us again during the revision of the basin plan. Credit must go to Jan Beer, whose persistence and extensive research over many years into the basin plan convinced the board to meet with the community. There is still a lot of work to be done, and we can't leave our advocacy up to just one person. So the community must do more to ensure that laudable downstream objectives are not at the expense of our communities. I sincerely thank Jan for all her work and ask everyone, including my fellow councillors, to get on board to assist in making sure a good outcome is achieved from the current Murray-Darling Basin Plan review. Finally, and sadly, I wish to note the contribution to the Shire by Julie Hosking, who passed away on the 1st of November 23. 28 years of support for UGFM radio and staunch supporter and member of the Alexandra Dog Obedience Club, Julie combined her love of dogs and blues music for 20 years on her Men and Paws program. Always with a twinkle in her eye, she had the enviable characteristic of also having a twinkle in her voice that brought happiness to her many listeners. She will be very sadly missed. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Walsh. Councillor Haslam, in her unfortunate absence, has provided a report, which I will now read. Firstly, I'm very pleased to hear of the great response to the new container deposit scheme is receiving. I believe in the first month, Nanny Jan's Emporium, which is the drop-off area at Eildon Shopping Village, received approximately 50,000 items since the 1st of November, and in Victoria, 20 million items have been returned, with an estimated $1.7 million returned to the community. That works out to be approximately 1.5 million units per day. What a great start. This really is a win-win situation for both the environment and for community. After many delays, South Crescent is due to be repaired and sealed in the next week. Thank you for the understanding this with this ongoing issue. The community battery study is underway for Yay, Marysville, and this will give us valuable information for future direction. I'm very happy to report that work is due to start on the Flying Fox at Mar Park in early December with an anticipated completion prior to Christmas. A bonus is this will be suitable for all abilities. Other works will be started early February and this will minimise disruption during the extremely busy Christmas holiday period. The Eildon community is very excited to see the opening of Pixies at the Billabong. This was the old picture theatre. With an incredible amount of hard work, it has been transformed into a restaurant and music hall. This is a much-needed addition to Eildon. Something else of interest is the pop-up Christmas shop. What a lovely shop this is, full of everything to do with Christmas. It's worth a drive to Eildon just to see these two new offerings. It's wonderful to see new investment in the area. Last but not least, I would like to take this opportunity to say a big thank you to Mr. Albertini. We appreciate all you have done for the Murrindindi Shire in your role as Director of Assets and Environment. It has been a pleasure to work with you. You are going to be greatly missed. So all the very best for the future. And that's it from Councillor Haslam. Item 6.4 is Councillor Gehringer's report. And again, I have a report to share on her behalf. As previously advised by the Mayor, on Wednesday, the 25th of October, I was taken to hospital for a medical emergency as a result of the diagnosis, which has meant an unfortunate term of absence in order for me to attend to ongoing treatment. This does not mean that I am not still committed to my role as your Kinglake Ward Councillor. In fact, I will most certainly be keeping an eye on things and having input in how our community is cared for in this time in 12 months from now. I'm fully supportive of our new Mayor and Deputy Mayor, Councillor Sue Carpenter, as well as the other councillors whom I know will continue to look after each and every one of you. I must say that the love and support I have received during this time from my Kinglake community has been overwhelming, and I'm grateful for all the assistance that I have received. Thank you to my Kinglake. You have not let me down, and I won't let you down. I'd also like to thank Councillor Lording for stepping up for me whilst I have been unavailable. This past weekend saw the return of the Kinglake Rangers Art Show and Foggy Mountains Festival, and although I wasn't present personally, I was there in spirit. By all accounts, the weekend looked absolutely amazing, and Councillor Lording's feedback reiterated this. Well done to the organisers for making it a weekend to remember. Hopefully, I'll be there to support you all next year. On another note, we sadly say goodbye to a valued member of our executive. I'd like to thank Mr. Vito Albertini for his assistance and commitment to Murrindindi Shire over the last 4 years. He came to us in 2019 and was met with a multitude of challenges, from roads to infrastructure to maintenance. It's not easy with limited budgets and equipment to make it work, but he has managed to give us a huge boost. His team has been shown as some great leadership and has enabled the following a legacy that will continue for many years to come. And those are the organising our road register, which is an ongoing activity, reducing road trauma in Murrindindi Shire, part of the road safety strategy, Eildon redevelopment ongoing, the Kinglake streetscape ongoing, bushfire memorial upgrades and maintenance ongoing, the community road asset group, which is next to meet in December, the road speed changes ongoing, road safety strategy and action plan ongoing, capital works program ongoing, and the condition audit of buildings ongoing. Quick response team for Kinglake roads and maintenance. And that is Councillor Gehringer's report. Item 6.5, Councillor Lording, do you have a report?
Yes.
Thank you, Councillor Lording.
I want to continue in that vein and mention Vito. I held the roads portfolio for some 6 years, and boy, it was a tough one. But when Vito came along, he actually listened to us. He wanted to work with us, which was something that I hadn't experienced in the past. He also runs a really good shop. I'm going to miss you, mate. Okay. Back on the planning. The planning department are now running very smoothly, and you can definitely see the effects of Mr. Paxton in managing that area, doing a really good job. In the strategic planning area, our strategic planning team has been busy consulting with the community in Eildon with the Pondage Master Plan, which is something we've needed to do for a long time, and we've tried a few times, but this time it's happening. The Tallangi region, with the proposed planning scheme amendment for the Tallangi Forest Discovery Centre, and throughout the Shire with the planning scheme review. There has been some great involvement from the community in these processes, and I know council staff will review this information thoroughly in the next few weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lording. Councillor McCauley, do you have a report?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Before I commence my report, I would like to offer my congratulations to Mayor Councillor Damien Gallagher and Deputy Mayor Councillor Sue Carpenter on your appointments at the most recent statutory meeting. I wish you both well for the final year of this current council term. My portfolio started off earlier this year with the anticipation of the commencement of a new Manager of Economic Development and a Project Officer for the Shaping Murrindindi Project. Wow, have these respective officers been busy? Firstly, last month, Council noted the draft economic development plan that was subsequently being released for business and community consultation. Secondly, tonight, Council has been pleased to endorse the first stage context analysis of the Shaping Murrindindi project. The draft economic development strategy, which has five pillars being visitor economy, agriculture, food production, business support, sustainable future, and prosperous communities. This strategy is intended to build upon and complement the forestry transition project to encompass the whole Shire. Council is inviting the business and community input. It is pleasing to note that there has already been considerable interest shown in the document. I thank those people for their input. Please, I encourage you to take the opportunity to provide feedback by telling us, have we got the priority areas and outcomes? We got them right. What is missing and what would you like to suggest? To do so, jump on the loop.murrindindi.vic.gov.au/economic strategy, where you can complete a survey, register an online focus group, or share your ideas on an online board. So there's plenty of ways of becoming involved. A desired outcome of this consultation is the establishment of a business network or round table to work with council to test ideas and enhance the delivery of the plan for the community. So I urge members of the business community, become involved. In the area of the Shaping Murrindindi Future Local Development Strategy, earlier this evening, officers presented the draft regional context analysis of the Shaping Murrindindi Local Development Strategy, big mouthful. We heard from officers how this Department of Environment, Energy and Climate Action, or DECA-sponsored project, is following a prescribed process to support our community transition out of timber harvesting over the next 7 years. In my September report, I encourage people to take the opportunity to consult, to comment on the draft summary of this important document by completing the feedback form on the web or on paper copies, as well as a number of drop-in events. I would like to thank those people who did indeed take the time to engage in person or in writing. It was pleasing to note that suggestions were listened to and amendments were made. Your voice does matter. With the community consultation process having been completed, Council is pleased to be able to endorse this context analysis for first stage document tonight. Going forward, there are two dinners being hosted for interested community members next week to celebrate the work to date and outline the next steps of this important project. Please hop online or contact the front office to register for these dinners being held on the 29th of November at the Alexandra Golf Club or on the 30th of November at the Marysville Golf Club, both commencing at 5:30 p.m. Next year, the innovative opportunities identified in the document will be reviewed through a series of workshops. You can nominate to be part of this stage two or entrepreneurial discovery phase. If you would like to be involved in these workshops, please complete an expression of interest form either online at the loop or on paper. On a completely different area altogether, lifeguards are on for the summer season. Yes, it is the time of year again. Pools opened last weekend. Council is proud to announce that entry is again free this year. Pool opening hours and upcoming programming for your local pool is available on the website on murrindindi.vic.gov.au/pools. Out and about in the community this last month, I, along with CEO Olivia Benazzi, attended the Marysville Art Show. Once again, the art on display did not fail to impress with representation of many forms of media. Congratulations to the Triangle Art Group and the Mirror Centre. Finally, it's here. The Marysville Music Weekend is on this weekend. No guess as to where I will be for this Friday night and much of the weekend. Yes, the Marysville Community Centre will be where well-known artists such as Kate Sobrano, William Crichton, Frank Sultana, Cass Eager, and many, many more will be there. The Music Weekend is a prepaid ticket event which can be purchased by try booking. This important weekend event is run by the Lions Club of Marysville and very proudly supported by Council and has widespread social and economic benefits, felt not just in the Triangle area, but across the eastern side of the Shire. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McCauley. Councillor Carpenter, would you like to report?
Thank you. We've already completed 3 years as your elected representatives and now go into our final year of our term. I am grateful to my fellow councillors for choosing me for the position of Deputy Mayor, and I am greatly looking forward to supporting our new Mayor, Damien Gallagher, in this last term. I am also happy to now have the portfolio of operations and maintenance. Many years ago, I was a member of the Parks and Gardens outdoor staff in a suburban council. That experience will be helpful in understanding the complexities of operations and maintenance in a council environment. I will be a member of the Council Roads Advisory Group as well. Next year, I will be a member of the Central Ranges Local Learning and Employment Network as our council representative and also alternate councillor on the Audit and Risk Committee. I have now passed the portfolio of community wellbeing and economic development to the capable hands of Councillor McCauley, and I thank Executive Andrew Paxton for his knowledge and enthusiasm in this area. I ask the community to continue to be engaged with Council when they ask for feedback and community consultation on Council matters. Your input and contributions do help guide this council in sound decision making. Become involved. I also wish to ask the community if there is anyone who may be able to become a volunteer driver for Moving Murrindindi. This program provides drivers to take community members to medical and other appointments when the residents are unable to drive themselves. A council car is available for use and any licensed driver can offer their availability. Please ring the council if you can offer any time to this valuable service. Finally, I'd like to sincerely thank our executive Vito Albertini for all his work at Murrindindi Shire Council and I wish him all the best in his future endeavours. Thank you, Vito.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. Item 6.8 is the Mayor's Report. Now for me, November has been another month of celebrating community. Firstly, in honour of service, in honour of sacrifice, I thank everyone across Murrindindi Shire for their solemn observance of Remembrance Day commemorations on the 11th of the 11th, for the individual transactions of life and well-being, for the freedom and privilege we enjoy today, lest we forget. Early in the month, I enjoyed an immersive Wawa Big experience, relaxing and enjoying stories and cultural learning. Thanks to the leaders of Council's Reconciliation Action Plan for supporting the pursuit for understanding and connection with our rich local heritage. In Alexandra, the Spring Fair and Alexandra Pastoral and Agricultural Society's 138th Annual Spring Show were held. Both events were made possible by the dedicated work of volunteers and by locals and visitors coming along and lending their support. It's heartening that both events directed their proceeds to enabling and thriving a local visitor economy. Last Wednesday, I was appointed Mayor of Murrindindi Shire Council, and I'm very appreciative of the supportive messages from right across the community. The appointment triggered a shift of focus to issues of Shire-wide significance and to pursuing Murrindindi Shire's advocacy agenda further afield, and that focus shift will be reflected in my reports to Council. It was straight to work Thursday, representing Council at the Municipal Association of Victoria Rural and Regional Forum to discuss and consider a response to the Victorian Government's proposal to introduce the Plan Victoria strategy. Their goal is to accelerate planning approvals and to rewrite the Planning and Environment Act. To give a sense of the scale of the challenge, Plan Victoria is looking to address the challenge of homing an additional 323,000 people in regional Victoria 2036. Council's challenge, as always, is to resolve the tension between growth and our community's attachment to our rural setting, as addressed in Council's recently adopted housing and settlement strategy. Last Friday, I attended the Victorian Local Governance Association Fast Track event, at which Local Government Minister Melissa Horne announced a new measure to address instances of councillor misconduct. I look forward to supporting the Minister's targeted reforms. I hope the reforms can be achieved while also fostering community trust in the sector. It's important that the government support dedicated individuals committed to service and to attracting future candidates passionate about representing their community. Closer to home Saturday, I thank the volunteers at Resource Alexandra and Upper Golden Landcare Network for presenting their food dehydration, composting and circular economy initiatives to an engaged group of onlookers. I encourage those who would like to learn more to reach out to the group at Upper Goldman Landcare Network. On Sunday, there was a timely reminder that the fire season is most certainly upon us, and local brigades responded to fires close to home. The declared fire danger period and associated restrictions commence on the 27th of November. Please prepare your family with a plan appropriate to your circumstances. Keep an eye on local weather conditions and the fire danger rating for the day, and please ensure that you and your visitors this summer don't leave campfires unattended. Yesterday afternoon, I welcomed the opportunity to invite Murrindindi Shire community to embrace the initiative to bring a comfortable, connected collaboration facility for tertiary study right here in Murrindindi Shire, and to recognise the great work of the champions, including Councillor Walsh and Mr Paxton, who are contributing to a grant application funding to bring the initiative to life. Please contact Council if you'd like to lend your support. Finally, as councillors have addressed this evening, it's with some sadness that we farewell our Murrindindi Shire Director, Vito Albertini, this evening. Over the course of the last 4 years, there are numerous strategies, particularly in the space of asset management, along with various efficiency measures such as the Reactive Tree Crew and the Rapid Response Team initiative. On the micro scale, Mr. Albertini, you have been often the star of briefing sessions as councillors champion the issues of members of the community. You go with our very best wishes. Item 6.9, the Chief Executive Officer's report. Thank you, Ms. Bonazzi.
Thank you, Mayor Gallagher. I'm pleased to note that our advocacy efforts are having some traction. We have been vigorously advocating both as an individual council as well as a sector for more government funding to manage local roads. Council has welcomed the Grattan Institute's report, Potholes and Pitfalls, How to Fix Local Roads, which recommends a $1 billion annual increase in funding for local roads across Australia, targeting funds where most needed and reforming the federal assistance grant funding formula and processes to better assist rural and remote councils. The report aligns with council's advocacy efforts, emphasising the need for fairer funding distribution and more government support to manage the increasing pressure on road infrastructure due to natural disasters and heavy vehicles. Earlier this week, the federal government has announced a substantial commitment to enhancing road safety across Australia, with the Roads to Recovery funding to gradually increase from $500 million to $1 billion per year, and the Black Spot funding to rise from $110 million to $150 million annually. This is a welcome step forward in improving the safety and productivity of our local roads. Additionally, the Heavy Vehicle Safety and Productivity Program and the Bridges Renewal Program will merge into the new Safer Local Roads and Infrastructure Program, which will see its funding gradually increase to $200 million per year from the current $150 million. This change is part of a wider strategy to make funding more accessible and effective
and it reflects the recommendations from the independent strategic review of the infrastructure investment program. The much needed extra funding from four councils' local roads will go some way to improve safety for all road users. In Murrumbidgee Shire, we are acutely aware of the alarming TAC statistics, which indicate that since January 2011, our small rural shire alone has witnessed 57 fatalities and 689 injuries. These numbers represent not just statistics, but lives lost and families shattered. Council is in the process of developing a road safety strategy that will position us well for securing some of the competitive funding opportunities. However, the current condition of state roads is also a significant hazard that needs prompt attention, and Council has been advocating to the State Minister for Roads to prioritise the repair and maintenance of the state roads within our shire, particularly the Melba Highway between Kinglake and Yay. On another note, I wish to thank the Alexandra and District Traders and Tourism Association for bringing the closure of Lakeside Campground in Lake Yilda National Park to Council's attention, which would have significantly impacted the peak visitor period. Following strong advocacy from community and council, including a direct appeal to the minister by the mayor, Parks Victoria has agreed to a temporary reopening of the Fraser Block campgrounds with reduced services. This addresses critical infrastructure issues while prioritising visitor safety, mitigates potential economic losses for local businesses, and supports the continued vitality of the visitor economy by maintaining access to these important camping and recreational areas during the summer season. Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you. Ms. Benazzi. Councillors, we move to item 7, record of council briefing sessions, and I ask that the councillor move that council receive a note, the records of councillor briefing sessions for the 18th of October 2023 to the 18th of November 2023. Thank you, Councillor McCauley. And a second, thank you, Councillor Carpenter. All those in favour? That's carried. Thank you. To item 8, the sealing register, I ask that councillor note that the list of items to which council seal has been affixed. Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. And second, thank you, Councillor Walsh. All those in favour? That motion is carried, and that brings us to the end of the evening. Thank you, councillors, for your participation and your discussion, and thank you to everybody who's contributed. I declare the meeting closed at 7:43 p.m. and close the stream. Thank you.